You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 6th of May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we're chatting with Martin Smith from Anchor Capital. That MTN update, the market really liked it. Sean Saunders from Revix, rise of altcoins. Suddenly, it's not all just Bitcoin. There's a whole bunch of other crypto altcoins coming to the fore. And then Dean Denison from Glacier by Sanlam, the role of a money market fund in your portfolio. Boring, but useful for the right piece, right place, right time. A poll yesterday, which we asked across the social medias, the two big diversified miners on the JSE, Anglo-American or Billiton, which is your preferred? Wayne McCurry preferred Anglo-American, and I agree with his story. PGMs, iron ore, copper, Facebook and LinkedIn communities absolutely agreed with them, preferring Anglo-American. Twitter, however, you guys went with BHP. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche, in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Maren Roberts' order book could grow to $80 billion. There's still a little bit to go. My question, as always, is do those order books flow into revenue and, more importantly, profitable revenue? We had a big issue with that around the World Cup, 10, 12 or so years ago. Business Day, Goldfields poised to create SA's largest own-use solar plant. They're going to build a giant renewable energy plant at their South 32. It's going to save them 120 million rand a year when it's up and going. And that, of course, is then money that Eskom's not going to get. So what is Eskom going to do? Up their rates. What's that going to do? Force people to leave Eskom. It's a vicious circle. Morning markets, US mixed, S&P green, but 0.07%, so not by much. NASDAQ off 0.4. Asia mixed, Sydney down 0.4. Tokyo open gain up 1.7. Commodities, green overnight, gold 1789. Rand 1437. And top 40, looking for a red open, but 20 points down. So let's call that flat.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Martin Smith. He is a portfolio manager at Anchor Capital. Martin, I mentioned in an intro there, MTN, a quarterly update for the period ending 31 March, so pretty much the first part of this year. We've seen some updates coming through from them in terms of some of their sort of listed subsidiaries, Ghana, Nigeria, and the like. But this update here, the market, I mean, it was a good number. The market really, really liked it. I mean, pushing the stock up 11.5% on the day.
Yeah, so you mentioned Ghana and Nigeria there, and those numbers really come out, and they were very, very strong from a revenue perspective. So we thought that the numbers would be quite good, but SA was up 11.8%, which is way ahead of expectations, specifically in a highly penetrated market like we have in South Africa. It was an incredible result. And we also have to remember that there aren't really base effects insofar as COVID is concerned with MTN, because they weren't specifically affected by COVID like a lot of other businesses. Mm-hmm. So 11.8% on quite a healthy base in South Africa is a great, great operational number.
And I mean, growing margins left, right, and center. I mean, the group margin improved. But even in South Africa, they managed to not just grow, and I agree with you, in a saturated market like ours, 11.8% is massive. And they then picked up that margin at EBITDA level from, 36.6 to 39.8. That is materially significant. I mean, they are very, very much pumping on all pistons.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not just the operational side of things, which is, as we could have seen yesterday, really, really great. But it's also about the value unlock story in terms of with their fiber business, the tower side of things, fintech businesses. So it's all this kind of corporate action that's going to unlock value in the share as well. So you've got two sides of the coin. One, operationally, they're delivering. And two, they've unlocking value as well, which, like we've seen with something with Amazon and their web services business, can be value accretive to shareholders over time. So we've been holders of the share for a while. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the share bounced quite a lot yesterday. Yeah. But I think it grinds higher from here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even at these levels, it's, you know, maybe it's about a 10, 11 forward PE. That's not a killer number. You're holding MTN. Do you hold it as a preference over Vodacom or a bit of both?
No, as a preference over Vodacom, I think, again, it comes with a little bit of a health warning. I think you have these events, these kind of something out of Nigeria, for example, that happened in December with the ID numbers linked to SIM cards. You have these kind of risks associated with the business. The market's kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt. But, I mean, it does come with a health warning. So, I mean, that could happen in a month or six months or never happen. But it is something just to kind of consider. But ultimately, I still really like the stock, happy to hold it, and definitely prefer it over Vodacom.
Yeah, and looking at the two together, MTN's massively outperformed. I'm definitely on the right side. Closed yesterday, 99.03. The Resi 10, in fact, I mean, the market yesterday had a bit of a stormer. Banks were up nicely. But the resources kind of coming back to the party. And we get that underlying story, which is, you know, commodity prices, copper, palladium, iron ore, across the board, commodities are looking strong. The miners had been sort of pausing a bit, but they seem, I mean, maybe, you know, one day is not a summer, but there is a bit of a return to that trade, certainly yesterday.
Yeah, Simon, so a couple of things on that. So, I mean, like you mentioned, the commodity prices are skyrocketing at the moment. Copper at a 10-year high, iron ore at a 10-year high, palladium at an all-time high. I mean, the Bloomberg commodity index is at levels that we haven't seen since 2011. So commodities are absolutely skyrocketing, like I said. But we also need to look at the spot multiples that a lot of these businesses are trading on. I mean, they've built a lot of fat for commodity prices actually coming off. So, I mean, I think there's opportunity still within the mining kind of space in South Africa. But the last point I want to make, and it's quite an interesting one, I was having a chat with a colleague of mine about it last night, actually, is that on the JSE, we used to kind of the commodity plays and what these guys are doing. But I think the rest of the world is now starting to wake up to say, look, there's a commodity super cycle that's maybe going on here. Maybe there's opportunity, because look at the multiples these guys are trading on. Look at what commodities are doing. And I think we'll see some more flows from the rest of the world, because we've got to remember commodities like we have on the JSE aren't kind of a massive part of the world's indices. So people are now starting to wake up, and I think we're going to see some flows coming in from that side of things.
Yeah, I mean, exchanges and mining exchange, that's a great point, and the rest of the world not. We're used to it. But I like your other point, Pat. They'd built some fat in case prices came back. Prices are not coming back just yet. Martin Smith, Portfolio Manager at Anchor Capital, appreciate the early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Sean Saunders. He's founder of Revix Crypto Exchange. Sean, appreciate your early morning. A fascinating note you sent out earlier in the week. Bitcoin used to have a dominance, 85% in the crypto market. In other words, you know, the of the full crypto space, Bitcoin market cap was 85%. That's now down at 46%. Less about my senses, less about sort of Bitcoin sort of coming off, more a case of suddenly the altcoins are starting to pick up. I mean, you know, Doge, which is the classic sort of, you know, one we look at weirdly, but Ethereum and others. And I mean, this is really, in a sense, talks to a maturing and expanding of the crypto market.
Yeah, good morning. It's most certainly that. I think, you know, when you talk about cryptocurrencies, the first thing that comes to mind is Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And it is sort of the gateway drug in crypto, where you try, you know, make an investment in Bitcoin, and then from there you sort of go down the rabbit hole. And now that's happening with institutional investors as well. The institutions dip their toes in the water. They bought, and by institutions, I mean blue chip corporates, you know, like Tesla, that bought Bitcoin. They're now looking at Ethereum as an alternative to just buying Bitcoin. And that has a big ripple effect. And I think on top of that, you know, there's a lot going on with other cryptocurrencies. A top performing cryptocurrency known as Cardano, which is included in two of our bundles that we offer on our platform. They actually recently announced a partnership with the Ethiopian government to implement a national blockchain-based student and teacher ID system. So that this records their physical identities as in digital form on a blockchain and verifies grades, remotely monitors school performance. And this is meant to be, you know, sort of a step in the technological direction for Ethiopia. And this is sort of one of those stories where you see African countries leapfrogging. But you can imagine that's had a really big impact on Cardano's performance. Cardano operates very similar to Ethereum. So it's actually not just a story of, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum. It's actually the rest of this crypto market is sort of blowing up. And it's a big part because real world adoption has arrived.
Yeah, and it is that it's that sense of growing up. I mean, Bitcoin was, you know, is really, it's the granddaddy. I mean, it's the first crypto. But of course, as the others come, and it's taken some time, they're going to gain that extra traction. And perhaps, yeah, you know, and not to diss Bitcoin, but, you know, first mover often, you know, maybe there's more efficient ways, etc. And therefore, the up and comers perhaps are ultimately better. I mean, is it possible that, you know, one day we see a Ethereum or somebody else perhaps with a larger market cap, in other words, overtaking Bitcoin?
Yes, I do. I think if you look at what Bitcoin's looking to solve, I mean, the market it's looking to disrupt, in my opinion, it's looking to become more like digital gold. And that means it's competing with gold. You know, there's probably what, $10 odd trillion market there. So yeah, that's a big market. That means Bitcoin increases 10x from where it is today. That's obviously a fantastic return. But if you're looking then at Ethereum, Cardano, EOS, Polkadot, Tron, these are the cryptocurrencies, and some of those sound super weird. And if you haven't heard of them before, you know, head over to Revix and, you know, read a bit more about them. But what these are looking to do is essentially create blockchain infrastructure for this decentralized future. And again, that's young, super airy-fairy. But in the future, I think that you will have a lot more finance is going to be automated. We've spoken about decentralized finance before. I mean, it's an incredibly interesting and growing topic. You've seen the amount that's actually interacting with the DeFi protocols on the Ethereum blockchain, et cetera, actually hit record highs. And what this means is more people, let's say from developed markets, from developing markets as well, they're using these protocols the same way that they'd be using a bank account to generate interest, and they're lending assets peer-to-peer. And it's that which is a really big opportunity, which means that Ethereum could well become a bigger market than Bitcoin. So if it did match Bitcoin's market cap, it would need to go up about 3 times from where it is now.
Oh, that's not even in the crypto world. That's not a heck of a lot, but it's those nuances which, you know, you roll them off your tongue. I think for certainly me and many of my listeners, we don't get them, and hence that, you know, the final point then is that for many of us who are not sort of knee deep and or neck deep in the crypto world, those bundles are a nice easy solution because we get bunches of exposure where we don't have to. You know, I've got some Bitcoin, but I didn't even know about these others. Polkadot, never heard of it. Sean Saunders, founder, Revix, appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Cryptocurrencies are one of the world's largest investment phenomena. If you're a crypto newbie, join MoneyWeb's Kieran Ryan with Revix and Voark CEOs on Thursday, 6 May at 11 a.m. for a free webinar to learn the best practice tools on how to invest in crypto. That's this morning, Thursday, 6 May, 11 a.m. Go to moneyweb.co.za to register.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb now with Simon Brown on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Dean Denison. He is a senior research and investment analyst at Glacier by Sanlam. Dean, appreciate your early morning time to chat again. Talking money market funds, which I think a lot of people look at money market and think, oh, it's boring. It's for old people. I mean, those might not be untrue statements. And a note you sent out says that there are at points fit for purpose. It's starting with what is the purpose and your requirements and sort of that big picture. And narrowing it down to see if a money market really is something which could be fitting into an investment portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely, Simon. I mean, they might not be the most exciting vehicles in the local investment arena, but there's certainly a role for them to play. And it's exactly what you're looking for in these types of vehicles is actually something a little bit less sexy. So the objectives are capital preservation first and foremost, good liquidity. These are the types of things we look to identify in a really strong money market fund. And then lastly, the idea is to generate a return that might be slightly ahead of inflation or ahead of the prevailing interest rate. So, I mean, the attributes aren't necessarily what you would look for in, for example, equity funds or part of the markets that are more exciting, but there's certainly a role to play for investors.
And that's the point. I mean, I was chatting crypto a moment ago, and that's the other extreme end of volatility slash risk. I mean, I look at my portfolio and I have, you know, I like that sort of money market because it means there's, you know, last year when markets were collapsing the world over due to a pandemic, there was a portion of my portfolio which was, you know, sitting pretty, not losing value, and importantly, giving me liquidity, which, you know, it's different requirements for that liquidity, but it sits there and it kind of does what it says on the sticker, which is, I will be here if needed. And that's the key point. Are you perhaps going to be needing short-term horizon access? And that's where it really plays that critical role.
Yeah, and I think that short-term statement that you made, that really is the key, right? And it's something that I think investors need to be very conscious of, is that money market funds, this isn't the area of your portfolio that you should be reaching for yield. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what we've seen in the last couple of years, is that because of where interest rates have been and because of the lackluster returns we've seen broadly on the JSE, the general trend of thought has been to de-risk and try to sort of not just prevent capital losses, but actually find returns in that part of the market. And then we don't necessarily think it's going to be that simple going forward. And we've obviously seen a big change in interest rates, in the interest rate regime, with rates at the all-time low. Investors just need to be cognizant that this isn't going to be an area of the market where you're going to generate significant returns. And so it's probably a good time to look at your portfolio and just ask yourself, is this a prudent allocation to money markets, given what my objectives are? Sure, it's playing a role in terms of protecting your capital and providing good liquidity over the short term. Mm-hmm. But it's just always a good time to make sure that might be appropriate.
You mentioned modest returns, and they are. But what is important is that typically your money market will do better than cash in the bank. And it was one of the big things that I did a couple of years ago. Where I just had money lazy sitting in a bank. I moved it into money market. You know, it's only maybe a percent or so per year. But it's an important distinction that it is probably going to do you better than just sort of very lazy cash lying in a current account or a savings account.
Yeah, no, it certainly should do. That is one of the objectives of a money market fund. So over time, it should outperform money in the bank or the interest rates. There might be short periods where that might be different, but over the long term, that surely is the case. And I think one of the other benefits is that it gives you easy access to your funds, where a lot of investors, the alternative is to put your money in a fixed deposit that often locks you up for a certain period of time. With money market funds, given that it's a collective investment scheme, you've got quick access to funds should you need it. So it's a really nice place to park your funds if it's for the reason of phasing into a higher risk investment over time, or if it's simply to park your money in a place where it's where it's protected, and then where you can access it for perhaps a short-term objective that you might have.
Yep, and I put my emergency fund in there. I can manage the short term while I wait for that cash to come up, but the liquidity is there, so it will come quick enough. Dean Dennison, Senior Research and Investment Analyst, Glacier Basanlam, appreciate your early morning, sir. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Orbvest Diversified Holdings No. 4. It will invest you into a range of Orbvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. Our question we're asking you today on our Facebook, our LinkedIn, our Twitter social media accounts: MTN has been the clear winner outperforming Vodacom and the JSE in recent time. Martin Smith was saying he certainly prefers MTN to Vodacom. I do as well. What's your view? MTN for the win? Is Vodacom perhaps going to come back? Maybe it's both, or perhaps it's neither. You can have your say on our social media presence on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, Matapela, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.